Well, coming up on today's Enjoying Everyday Life, two special guests join me to talk about what makes America great and what every Christian needs to know in order to make a difference in our society. Today we're talking about the importance of understanding America's history and standing up for our rights. Joining me in the studio are author and speaker Star Parker and my husband Dave Meyer. Star is a leading advocate for urban renewal and education based on biblical perspectives.
Star Parker is the founder and president of CURE, the Coalition on Urban Renewal and Education. CURE is a nonprofit think tank that tackles our nation's issues of race and poverty from a Christian perspective. A former welfare mother herself, she's a national expert on social policy and has appeared on major television and radio shows across the country. Star is also a syndicated columnist to more than 400 newspapers nationwide and the author of three books. She gives regular testimony before the United States Congress. Dave Meyer is passionate about America's heritage. He spent the last 12 years talking to audiences across the nation about the importance of being educated on America and its godly values.
Well, about 12 and a half years ago, my husband Dave read a book called America's Providential History that's actually about American history. And it really radically changed his life. It actually brought him much, much closer to God when he saw all the great things that God had done, the miracles that God has done in order for America to become the godly nation that she is. This nation is built on a godly foundation, but I think we all know that we are losing some ground and we're losing some moral ground. And so today we want to discuss with you some of the facts about our history and also what we as believers can do to make sure the moral foundation of this nation stays strong. So Star and Dave, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good to have you. Good to have you on the show.
Good to be here.
Good to have you on the show,
Dave.
Good to
be here.
Thank you. Well, Star, you've got quite a background. I know my husband's been reading your book. And so tell us a little bit about the transformation in your life and what has caused you to get interested in what you're doing now.
You know, it's interesting, especially as I listened to you talk about America's founding principles, I thought about my life and how easy it is for people to get lost, and one of the reasons that I got lost. We've moved so far away from what the founders of this country had in mind and how they looked at some truths, some eternal truths in the foundation that were for all of us. But I got caught up in this lie that America is not for African Americans, that America was cruel, that the founders were a bunch of racists. That was just one set of story I heard. I also heard growing up during the civil rights era, if you will, that there would never be a place for me. I also heard the message of the radical feminists then had the sexual revolution during that same time. And then I also heard the message of the then President Johnson that we have this war on poverty, that the government will take care of all of my problems. So a whole lot of confusion was going on. The next thing you know, I'm mixed up in criminal activity, drug activity, sexual activity. I mean, I bought this lie that I could do whatever I want to, that because I'm in this situation of a country that didn't care what I did with my future anyway.
Wow.
Sexual promiscuity, I was in and out of abortion clinic after clinic. I mean, if you recall, it was about 5 years after King's death that abortion became law. So, you know, is it any wonder now that it's the primary birth control in Black America, and it's just destroying that community particularly, as it has insulted all of our society. But for my own life, it was after the fourth time that I had one of their so-called safe legal rare, went into one of their clinics and had an abortion, that I just had a gut instinct way down deep inside. You know, maybe the feminists don't have this one right. Maybe I should look at some different alternatives. And although I still did not pull myself together sexually, when I got pregnant again, within a very short period of time, I had that child. And that's when I ended up in the welfare state, because I knew that world well. That's how I paid for all my abortion. You know, a lot of people don't realize that taxpayers fund abortion. I ended up having that next child. That was my fifth pregnancy. And opted for welfare and lived for the next 3.5 years in this little black hole, watching my life as if it was not my own, being totally destroyed. Mm. And what was interesting is finding Christ is that God always knew that little, you know, he follows you. And so even people that run or may not have ever heard, he's kind of watching our lives. And so I'm living like this. the living off of the government that promised me that they'd take care of me forever. But
really,
they had harsh rules.
It was crippling you.
It was horribly crippling
from realizing
me.
That you actually had gifts and abilities from God, and He loved you,
right.
And He had a plan for your life.
That's right.
And God wanted to take care of you.
That's right.
And that if you
I
would
really
just believe in Him,
that's right.
You could do great things.
Great. Well, look what's happened as a result. Yeah. I never. Their rules were: don't work, don't save, don't get married, and we'll take care of you. And it was when I went into a business to try to get subsidized income, to just get under the table, you know, income, that some Christians confronted my life and told me that my lifestyle was unacceptable to God. And then they led me to their church, and that's when I found out it's God or government, that you're absolutely right to us, that He will supply my need. So I wrote my caseworker. I got off. I got a little job. I got through college. I then became a Christian. And so I began an organization. I began working locally in my community. I began on this journey to dismantle the welfare state. The damage that has been done has been underappreciated in this country,
wow.
Just the entitlement mentality. I started locally. I was in L.A. at the time, but I found out that that was connected to my county, that was connected to my state, that was connected to Washington, D.C. So to make a very long story short, I ended up in Washington, D.C. with my organization to say, I want to do everything I can to get the government out of charity because this is God's work. So.
Well, you know, I'm very big on balance, and I'm sure you are too. And I know that there's probably a lot of people watching us today that are on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to say that there probably are cases when people need help.
Mm-hmm.
They may need temporary help. But actually, I think one of the ways that we exploit the poor is by pushing them further and further into a system mm-hmm. that disables them rather than enabling them. Mm-hmm. And so certainly there are times when people may need some help temporarily. They may need help if they can't find a job. They may need help if they're homeless or if they don't have the money to feed their families.
Mm-hmm.
But part of really helping them is educating them in the knowledge of God's will for them, that He wants to be first in our lives.
That's
and
right.
He wants us to depend on Him.
Right.
And no matter what state or situation we find ourselves in,
right.
then He can help us
right.
get out of that just like He has you.
He does, and that's why I think it's so critical that the body of Christ understands their role in all of this. People are in such need, and I think about and I look at when Jesus saw need in front of Him with the 4,000 that His disciples said, well, they're hungry right now. What do we want to do? Should we send them to the state?
Mm-hmm.
I know He didn't say that, but that's what He meant. Should we send them away?
Yeah.
And He said, no, you feed them. I really believe
right.
that when we think about who is in that critical state, that their help should be in the body of Christ.
Well, Dave, you know when you get on a program with two women, you're likely
<Uh-oh>.
not.
I was wondering if I was going to get a word in edgewise.
I'm sitting here thinking, I've got to let Dave talk. I've got to let Dave talk. Just share with us again. Of course, you know, you talk to me about this all the time, but why do you think that knowing our history, our true history, would help prevent some of the problems that Star's talking about?
Well, I think the big thing is people are uneducated, you know, and our foundation is a moral, godly foundation.
Right.
And without that moral, godly foundation, you know, there's no way of fixing a problem. And so, you know, Edmund Burke, who was a member of British Parliament during the American Revolution, said this: all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And I believe that today, then they knew what to do. But today, we don't know what to do because we've forgotten the heritage of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't know the heritage of our country, the things that we have learned in the past are wasted. And the price that we paid for those things is wasted. And so, therefore, we're ignorant. And like Star was saying, the things that they're trying to do in a materialistic way, and you can't fix a moral problem in a materialistic way. You've got to fix it based on the Word of God and godly principles and standards
right.
and virtues. And since that has been taken out of our society is looking for an answer, looking all over for an answer, and they can't find the answer because what we're being fed is we're being fed things that are not answers. You know, like I always say, when it comes to our rich Christian heritage, most Christians are poverty-stricken and therefore too paralyzed to respond to issues that are stealing our God-given rights.
Poverty-stricken right. in what they know.
Poverty-stricken as far as the knowledge of our history, their
right.
heritage, which is a God-given heritage,
right.
which is a foundation. So our foundation, if we don't have a foundation, our foundation is actually a platform into our future. And so without that foundation, we have no platform into the future. And I liken it to a person with amnesia. If a person has amnesia, they don't know what their past is. They don't know anybody that in their past. They don't know anything that existed in their past. And so people have to lead them around and show them what to do, and they have to start a new life. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what's happening in our society. Because we don't know our past, we have people leading us around, but they're the wrong people.
That's right.
The wrong kind of people, and they're teaching us wrong things and directing us in wrong ways. And so, therefore, we're buying that, but people don't know how to respond to this because they have no knowledge of how to respond and take back what the devil has stolen from us.
You know what I think it is? I think that, especially for us Christian people, I think that the war between good and evil that we read about in Scripture is over, that Jesus fulfilled, and he did, but he still has enemies here today. And so when you think about what's happened to our godly heritage, they have, based on the fact that slavery was still in this land at that time, people have discredited the framers. So now the secular society has introduced in our school system these concepts that, oh, you can ignore all of the Bible. All of the biblical truths are not taught to our children anymore.
Right.
So now we're in this baby boom generation who doesn't know it, so we're not passing to our children. And yet we turn these kids over to these secular schools and they learn about multiculturalism and diversity, but they learn nothing of the framers. I was shocked to find out how much respect the framers had for biblical truths and how much went into discussions to how to rid ourselves of slavery.
Well, and that was the whole reason they came here to start with.
Exactly.
And I was just sitting here thinking if the founders of our nation would have wanted for us what we have today, they might as well have stayed where they're at.
Right.
Because what we have is what they left to get
away
from.
That's what they escaped from.
That's right.
And so it's just foolishness to not see that the reason why America became so great in such a short period of time was only because she was founded on the Word of God.
That's right.
By godly men and women who were actually willing to die for religious freedom and for the truth to be known among all men. We're going to take a short break and come right back.
Okay.
Don't go away, because we've got some more really good things to share with you, including what you can help do about the problem.
Sarah Harper is driven to be the best at everything she does. In her frantic pursuit of perfection, she loses focus for a second, and her life is shattered in an instant. But what if she had the chance to gain it all back? Any Minute, a brand new novel from New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer, available from Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the importance of understanding America's heritage and how we can get involved and make a difference in our country. My guests are author and speaker Star Parker and my wonderful, handsome husband, Dave Meyer. How do you like that compliment?
All right, I like it.
All right. Well, Dave, what can the church do differently to have more impact on the government?
Well, I believe one of the things that I've been sharing in our conferences, and I think what was shared throughout our history, ever since the Constitution was established in our country, the Declaration and the Constitution, Declaration being the spirit of our country and really the why we broke loose from Great Britain, because we were being mistreated as a nation. And then the Constitution, which is the law of our land, which tells us how to govern ourselves, because it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Right.
But it's only a government of the people, by the people, and for the people that know about the Constitution, know what the Constitution says. Because we elect representatives. We have, you know, three branches of government: judicial branch, executive branch, and legislative branch. And we elect officials, and those officials, when they're elected, we are responsible to hold them accountable. Well, if we don't know the Constitution of our country, then how in the world can we hold them accountable? Because anything that they say, because they are government officials, we believe they know the truth, and so they're telling us what the truth is.
You know, knowing the Constitution probably sounds to a lot of people like this massive job that they could never attack. Tell us how simple it is.
Very, very, very. You can read the Constitution in less than an hour probably at the most, and not just read it, but you want to reread it, you want to study it, you want to learn the Constitution, because it'll help you. I liken it to a person that goes out and buys a washing machine or a lawnmower or a car or anything. You get directions with that car, that washing machine, and those directions are given to you so that you can benefit from whatever you're buying, get the most benefit out of that. We can actually govern our government.
But you know, there are some fundamental principles there that a person doesn't necessarily have to become a student of the Constitution. They definitely should make sure that their children get it in their educational place. If they don't, they should put them in a Christian school so that they will. But the principles are outlined in the Declaration, and this is what makes us unified. This is what makes us all one, is in the Declaration of Independence. First, the eternal truths that they talked about that are self-evident. Well, they're not self-evident anymore because there's a secular world that's taken them away from us.
I really believe down in the soul of every person is a desire to be involved. Mm-hmm. It's just that most people just really absolutely don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So, Dave, tell us a little more specifically what some of the things are that you feel that people can do to make a difference.
Okay. Well, what I see is in our country, it's very obvious and evident that throughout the recent years and a number of recent years, people have small interest groups have gotten their way and taken away our rights and
through persistence.
Yeah, through persistence. They're persistent. They're educated. They will not give up. They will fight to the bitter end, mm-hmm. and they get accomplish what they want to accomplish. And it's stealing our rights, taking away
really,
our rights.
Really, in many ways, sad to say, Christians give up too easy.
They do, mm-hmm. and as a result of that, we're losing our rights, and we're standing by passively thinking, you know, and complaining. What I see Christians do so often is I see them complaining but not doing anything about it. And, of course, one of the reasons they don't do anything about it is because they don't know the history of our country.
And we were guilty of the same thing.
Right, yeah. And once we began to learn the heritage of our country and learn our rights, then we began to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like on our website, you know, like I said before, our government is set up in such a way that we, the people, are to hold our representatives accountable. And when there's petitions and issues that are contrary to our beliefs and contrary to what we want, then we have to let our voice be made known. And the only way we can do that is to email them or phone them or be persistent and organized. And I believe that pastors have to cause people to be
educated,
to be educated and ignite them in being, you know, lovingly aggressive in these areas. And if they don't, then what happens is we lose our rights by default.
Yeah.
We lose our rights by standing by and, you know, being inactive and passive. And
yeah, a lot of pastors have bought the lie that they cannot even inform their
congregants
on political
things. They're afraid they're going to lose their church status.
They think they're going to lose, which...
They're afraid they're going to lose their church status, and, you know, that's been a lie that's been fed to them, and so they believe that lie, and, you know, if you believe a lie, it's truth to you, and so you act in that direction. Right. So that's why I believe that the program that we've been, the things that we've been sharing in this program are educational things, and education, without education, we become victims of ignorance, or slaves of ignorance, I say. And if we're a victim of ignorance, it's because... now, with this opportunity, with the ability to get information that can help you, then it's only our fault if we let that happen. Because it's not the ungodly that's going to save our society and our country. It's only the godly, because God has placed us here for that purpose. And really, we are the conscience of this country, and we've not operated as a conscience, and we should have a voice, and we've lost our voice.
So, in addition to knowing our history... We know that we need to pray. Mm-hmm. We know that we need to vote because we have to let our voice be known. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things that we teach, Star, and maybe you can give us a little more insight on the proper way to do this, is to speak out against unrighteousness, but to make sure that you do it in a godly way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so talk to us about that a little bit.
The founders set up our godly way. It's called our vote.
Yeah.
But in order to vote, you have to be informed. So what you do is you find out what does this mean? You find out, well, what is the nation? What is the Declaration? What is the Constitution? So now I have a right to vote. So what people have to do is develop their framework, their moral framework, and bring it into their Tuesday morning process to vote right. for representatives that represent your interests. That's the first thing. The second thing that people need to do is consider what information their children are getting. Now, Christian, we're the first ones to say we don't want them watching that stuff on TV, but then we're the second ones to say maybe we should fight for vouchers so we can get our kids to get the money to follow our children to where we can put our kids in schools that have the values that I want for my children. Mm. You know, there is no reason that in a free society only certain people are forced to send their kids to broken schools that teach a philosophy that is yeah. so inconsistent with their values. So we have to recover ourselves in terms of education. And then the third thing that we need to do is find local work. We have to be a part. Everyone does not have to go to Washington. I went to Washington because it is so destroyed. This worldview and philosophy is so destroyed, the urban communities and the black community particularly, that I want them to stop doing this damage. So I want my voice heard out there. But local work is so critical. We have crisis pregnancy centers now. We have homeless shelters. We have every... Mm-hmm. The Body of Christ does all of the charity work yeah, in right. the private sector. We really right. do. Mm-hmm. But there are those that don't. So they need to, you know, find a place to express themselves very locally so that we can fix this, so that when there's a need, we can do it. Think about it. We have now, especially in the black community, 65% of these kids are growing up in single-headed households. 70% of new births are born out of marriage. In the white community, they're starting to destroy themselves, too. Their out-of-wedlock birth rate is catching up to right. the black community. But what's the first little lesson that that little kid learns from this little? That commitment is not important.
Yeah, exactly.
They go through their That's whole right. life thinking commitment is not important. So now here comes the church and says, we're going to come and do this feeding, or we're going, and they leave too.
Right.
We keep leaving.
Oh, yeah.
So commitment is not important. So by the time they're 5, they don't commit to kindergarten. By the time they're 12, they don't commit to their study. By the time they're 14, they're sexual promiscuous because they're not going to commit to
exactly.
any driving philosophy. And then they get to 35 and figure out that they've ruined their life, and if they're not in jail. You know, God will catch us everywhere at any age.
Yeah.
But why continue all the brokenness if we don't have to, if we can catch them early?
Well, you know, the simplicity of God's word still prevails. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth.
That's right.
And the truth will make you free.
That's right.
The truth
That's
right. has made you free.
Amen.
And now you're trying to share the truth. That's and, you know, people don't always want to hear the truth.
Right. No.
Because sometimes when you share the truth with people, it means that they have to face that what they have been doing is not right,
right.
and that something needs to change. And really what we're trying to tell people today is the church needs to take responsibility mm-hmm. by not letting the government do its job.
That's
exactly right.
Right.
You know, the church has become very, very passive.
Yes,
and
has.
We have religion That's rather than a lot of, you know, intimacy mm-hmm. with God. And what we need to do is be actively involved in helping people in need. That gives us a reason to get up. You know, we're not just going to sit and be fat on the word and enjoy our blessings, right. but we're going to look for somebody that's in need and we're going to help them. Mm-hmm. Not just meet their physical need, although that's important, but really help them. Get involved and say, you don't have to live like this. I'm going to help see you through this. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to all realize that any time that you've been in a passive state mm-hmm. for a long, 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 long time, which is really an easier way of saying lazy,
yeah.
but when you've been in a passive state for a long, long time, it is hard.
Yeah.
yeah. Your will's been captured.
Yeah, yeah. to kick your yeah. flesh and yeah. get it going. Dave, just a few closing comments, if you will.
Well, I believe that, Karl Marx said it this way. He said, take away the heritage of a nation, and they are easily persuaded, they're easily controlled, they're easily deceived. And I believe the heritage of our nation has been taken away, and so the things that once where direction and guidelines for us are no longer guidelines for us, and that's basically what we've been saying. And I believe that if we can learn the heritage of our country, we know the Word of God. There are many Christians that know the Word of God, but how do we apply the Word
right.
of God? That's going to teach us how to apply the Word of God, because we've got our past teaches us what to do in the future, teaches how we failed and how we succeeded.
Right.
And if we don't have those lessons in front of us to use, then what happens is history repeats itself, but there's a price to pay. The price that was paid in the past will also have to be paid again.
Well, seeing the liberty that our founders needed mm-hmm. and what they did to get it, and seeing that what they did worked, it gives us hope that if we can rise up
exactly.
and just declare we're not going to live in bondage either, then it gives us hope that things can also change.
That's why it's so important to know the past.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for being
I think this is going to help you.
On the program today. Appreciate
you
coming. You know, I know that many of you are probably listening to the program today, and you know, maybe you didn't have a good beginning in life. And maybe as you listen to us today, you think, my gosh, I've made so many mistakes. I've made so many wrong choices. But you know what? None of this is to condemnation. It's only to lift you up and to show you that there's a better way. And here's what I say all the time, and I just really feel like that I should close with this today. How you begin in life, of course, is important, but it's not nearly as important as how you finish. And you know what? I didn't have a great beginning, but I'm determined to have a good finish. And you know, maybe you didn't have a good beginning either. And maybe the place you're in right now is not good. But you know what? You can have a good finish. And even though America seems to not be in a good place right now, she can also have a good finish if all of us who love God and love our nation will join together in prayer and also in taking godly action, not only through our vote, but through speaking out in a right way against unrighteousness and saying, no, I don't want that. I'm not going to stand for that. That's not the society that I want to live in. We can see things change. You know, today we're offering the book that actually was the book that my husband read 12 and a half years ago that was so life-changing to him. And I really want to encourage all of you to get this book and read it. I believe it will just stir a passion in your heart. It's called America's Providential History. It's probably time for some of you to have a good history lesson anyway. And so we're offering that to you today for your gift of any amount. It helps us with all the things that we're doing here at Joyce Meyer Ministries, as well as the things that we're trying to do in these areas. We're also offering a DVD set from Dave Barton, who's an American, it's an American Heritage series, and he's just an expert in American history. And this is a rather large DVD series, but it does give you an entire scope of American history in a way that will be very interesting, entertaining, and educational for you. So we'll tell you a little bit more about those things. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you. And remember, make sure that you pray daily for our nation.
The Founding Fathers fought long and hard to establish this great nation we love. But history books are being rewritten. Facts are being left out. And God's place in all of it is being forgotten. Today, we're offering resources that no American home should be without. With your donation of any amount, we want you to have the book that inspired Dave Meyer to passionately pursue the truth about our nation's history. America's Providential History by Mark Belisles and Stephen McDowell. Or, with a donation of $80 or more, request this comprehensive 10-DVD teaching, The American Heritage Series with David Barton. Either of these items make outstanding gifts and will help you better understand not only America's history, but gain insight for where we're headed in the future if we don't take a stand for righteousness. Contact us today for this limited-time offer. Just call toll-free 1-800-727-9673 or visit joycemeyer.org. Coming up next week.
I feel like one of the greatest responsibilities that I have in front of me today, and I'm praying about this a lot, is how to teach people to live a holy life and yet not be legalistic.